bring our hearts as we wait for God and ask Him to come and meet with us. So please pray with me. God, as we just sang, we wait for You. We might look back at some point in history, even Palm Sunday, or look forward to some potential future and imagine that life was or will be so much better then. But we sit here this morning and we wait for You. We look for You. We long for You to be present with us today. We thank You, Jesus, that You rode into Jerusalem victorious, yet You rode in so humbly as well. Jesus, we come to You because You enter each and every space so humbly, so gently, yet also so powerfully. And so we ask that You would enter our hearts this morning, that You would humble us with Your humility, that You would fill us with Your power, not our own, and shape our character, that we would desire what You desire. God, we ask that You would guide the youth as they try a new experiment this morning. May they meet You in worship. God, we want all people to know You and love You and to enjoy meeting You in worship. And so work in their hearts and minds as they might engage, that they might engage with You in new and meaningful ways today. And for the kids and teachers who have just left for time, specifically for them, for their age and stage in life, God, watch over them. Guide them and draw them closer to Yourself. And as we continue in worship, in song, and in prayer, watch over us as well. God, where our hearts are hard, where they are resistant to Your Spirit's work and to Your leading, teach us to enter Your kingdom like little children, aware of our shortcomings and limitations, yet energetic and joyful in our deep need for You. May we always run to You as a child runs to their parents, full of expectation and trust. And may we always find comfort and peace in Your embrace. Meet us in as we continue singing, giving our tithes and offerings, and in just a few moments as we open up Your word together as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to sing our next song, Hosanna, a song of praise, and you'll also be invited during that song to bring forward your tithes and offerings.
I don't think it's possible.
As you return to your seats, we are going to continue our sermon series this morning, looking at all the things that God cares about, all the things within us God cares about. And today is Palm Sunday, as we've already said, the last Sunday in Lent. And this morning we're looking at greed, this endless desire for more. And on this last Sunday, before Good Friday, where we remember Jesus' death, and Easter Sunday, where we celebrate His resurrection, we are going to read our text this morning, and then first the story of Palm Sunday in the Gospel of John, and then second, skipping ahead a few days. So we're going to open up God's Word to John chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verses 12 through 16, and then, as I said, we'll skip ahead to John 18 after Jesus' trial. So the next day, that's Palm Sunday, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet Him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, Jesus' disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about Him and that these things had been done to Him. And as I said, in our reading, we're going to skip forward several days. Jesus is arrested. He is taken to a mock trial by the Pharisees and then taken on to the Roman government, to Pilate, who had the real power of life and death. And as Jesus is before Pilate, Pilate goes back inside of his palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for charges against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. So far, the reading of God's word. Last week, in my sermon on sexuality and idolatry, I said that we are a church that loves to submit ourselves to Jesus. Now, I hope that's, and I know that's at least partially true, but also it's not, I know, fully true. Each of us and all of us wrestles with all kinds of sin and selfishness. Throughout this series, we've talked about pride, but also this morning, we're looking at greed, that desire for more. We know that our hearts are easily changeable. One day we want one thing, the next day we want something else. We gather for worship, we might feel the urge or plan to make some new commitment toward health or humility or kindness. But by the time we return home, we become immediately busy again with other concerns. We change our minds. We often even forget. In these two passages this morning, we see that we are not so different from the crowds of people in Jesus' day. One day, Palm Sunday, they're cheering for him, celebrating him as he rides into the city of Jerusalem on a humble donkey. Only a few days later, the same crowds are calling out for Jesus to be killed and some other man to be released to them. John makes clear that they were cheering for Jesus on Palm Sunday because they wanted Jesus to be the king of Israel. In other words, they wanted Jesus to win a political or military battle for them and make their lives better. They wanted Jesus to boot out the Roman army and the Roman government that was over them and to help them with their goals. But when they realized that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, as he said to Pilate, that Jesus' kingdom was about God's goodness for all people and at all times, when they realized this, Jesus wasn't helpful to them anymore. So they moved on to cheer for someone else, some other man, Barabbas. Why? Well, Barabbas had taken part in an uprising against Rome. Maybe Barabbas could help them with their political goals. If we consider the crowds of people on Palm Sunday, we can see their mixed motivations. In part, they really were eagerly cheering Jesus. They really did care for him. They really did celebrate him. On the other hand, they were also cheering for selfish reasons. They wanted more of their own way. They wanted more of their own power, more of their own freedom. And if you remember the tax collector from last week's story, they certainly wanted more of their own money. So what about you? What about us? We don't need to look any further than our own hearts to see the same dynamics at play when we come to worship Jesus. We worship him because he's worthy. We worship him because we love him. But also we worship because we want to get something from him. We have a sermon each week, not because we think we need to get smarter, but because we recognize in each of our own hearts that we are quick to turn from God, to turn back to ourselves, to turn back to things that ultimately lead to discouragement. We are quick to forget our love for God, for others, and even quick not to love ourselves. So what do we do as people, and especially what do we do as Christians? As always, we look again to Jesus. In this series, we've looked at Jesus especially through a human lens. We've looked at Jesus as a model for us to follow. But we must also remember that Jesus was and remains the Son of God. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he rode into Jerusalem and went to his death. Jesus knew exactly what was going on in the hearts of the people around him. And Jesus went anyway. Jesus knew that the people wanted him to be their king and political ruler. And many times in his life, Jesus had the chance to take or claim political power for himself or for his followers. But Jesus didn't pursue power. He didn't pursue money for himself or more for himself. Instead, the Son of God emptied himself and became a servant. He had everything, but gave it up. After his disciples argued about who's the greatest, pursuing more and more, Jesus reminded them, "You must be slaves, or a slave, to all." Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a war horse. He wasn't a conquering king, but a humble king. Jesus knew that people wanted to use him and use everyone and everything else for their own selfish or greedy desires. But still, Jesus did for people what God's will was. Jesus' answer to greed, to theirs and ours, was not a flat no. It wasn't immediate denial and punishment. Jesus' answer to greed was to fix his eyes on something even better, to offer that better gift to all people. Jesus did win freedom for the crowds who were cheering that day, even though they didn't deserve it. He didn't win them temporary freedom the way they expected. He won them permanent freedom in a world that remains broken. Permanent freedom that lasts even into eternity. Jesus put God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. Because Jesus was focused on his Father's kingdom, not on a worldly one, and because Jesus suffered and died for us, God gives us immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. You might have heard, or you might sense, that the problem with greed is that you ask for too much and focus on too much for yourself. But when you compare what you want to what God wants, you will not find that you are asking for too much. When you compare what you want with what God wants, you will not find that God is telling you, desire less. Instead, you will find that God is holding out far more than you could ask or imagine. Now, the kingdom of God and the power of God is not a credit card for you to purchase whatever you want or fill up yourself until you're sick. So often, we want things that are not good for us. Some of you know it was my birthday this past week, and on Wednesday, my birthday, I had too much delicious cake. And so the next day, I got a little bit of a sore stomach. Maybe you've had the same experience. Sometimes we want too much of things, even good things. But when I say that God is holding out for you far more than you can ever ask or imagine, I mean that he knows what is good and right and best for you. And God will only give you those things. God will not give you a story that ends with a stomach ache, even though you will have pain and suffering in this world. God will give you resurrection life and resurrection power when you give your life to Him. And giving your life to Him is the key part. Greed is so dangerous because greed prevents us from giving our lives and trusting our lives to Jesus. Greed says that I can give some part of myself to God. I can give out of convenience or guilt or pressure. I could give out of the desire for a better situation for myself. But then I can quickly and eagerly continue on with my own agenda, with my own priorities, and live for myself with the rest. For Christians, greed means I get more of what I want with everything that's left over after I give some to God. But C.S. Lewis reminds us that if we pursue this way, we will eventually become bitter and give up, or become discouraged and exhausted. In other words, it doesn't work to try to serve God and to try to get everything we want. Either we become bitter and give up, or we become discouraged and exhausted. This is what he writes. He says, if you try this way, in the end, you will either give up trying to be good, or you'll become one of those people who, as they say, quote, live for others, but always in a discontented, grumbling way, always wondering why the others don't notice it more, and always making a martyr of yourself. And once you have become that, you will be a far greater pest to anyone who has to live with you than if you would have remained frankly selfish. C.S. Lewis's claim is that God is not trying to make us nicer people. God is not trying to make us a little bit nicer or a little bit more improved or to slightly readjust or improve our lives. God is only willing to make us totally new. The crowds on Palm Sunday wanted to use Jesus for their own purposes. They were happy to listen to him. They were happy to respect him, but they also wanted to continue with their own agendas. They wanted a national king who would lead them out from Roman occupation and rule. And here's the thing. It was a good and reasonable desire. The problem is not that they wanted bad things. The problem was that they wanted what they wanted more than they wanted what God wanted. This is greed, putting your agenda, priorities, desires ahead of and more important than God. It's always wanting more for yourself. Or even in some cases, we get clever. We'll give God first, but then always return to ourselves and to our own personal desires. When we want more for ourselves, we refuse the far greater thing that God offers. C.S. Lewis continues this point by saying the Christian way, the way of following Jesus, is different than this. It's harder, but it's also easier. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. Hand over the whole of your natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent, as well as the ones which you think are wicked, the whole outfit. I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself, Jesus says. My own will shall become yours. When we're animated by greed or focused on ourselves, we often live our lives trying to avoid suffering, trying to make things easier in the short term. Greed, again, leaves us to focus on trying to get more good things for ourselves, more money, more vacation time, more friends, more honor, more respect. But with more good things for ourselves, we also want less of what we feel is bad. less difficulty, less struggle, less physical pain. And from a human perspective, it's understandable that we want all these things for ourselves. And again, they're not bad in and of themselves. However, in our broken and sinful world, no person, not even Jesus, goes through life without pain and suffering. When we hope for and work for and put our time and money and energy toward a life of less suffering, less pain, or no suffering and no pain, we're hoping for something that's impossible in the short term. In hoping for something easier, we make life very hard on ourselves. It's not possible to live as a human person in our world and be untouched by brokenness and sin and pain in our world. And can you imagine for a moment if it was? What if you, just you personally, lived as a perfectly happy individual? You had all the good things and only good experiences, even though you were surrounded by other people who were suffering and struggling and hurting. You might imagine that someone else already has this life. And if this was someone else's experience, you would probably resent that person. If this was your experience, you would become less human in some ways. You would become less connected with other people. In order to continue to be perfectly happy, you would have to remove yourself from the people you care about. You couldn't continue without pain or suffering or sadness if you knew that the people you love were suffering and struggling and hurting. But then you might say, what if you could share your goodness with the people you love the most? That way they could be happy too. They could be satisfied along with you and free from struggling and difficulty and pain. It might take more time and more energy to make a group happier rather than just an individual. It might take longer to save up enough money or power or resources to do it, but if you were greedy enough and worked for yourself enough, maybe you could try. It is possible in our world to continue with a life of greed, always trying to get more good for yourself. But you may already experience that this trying to get more good and more good for yourself, this leads to endless work. It leads to results that do not satisfy. But Jesus comes humbly riding into the city. Jesus comes humbly riding into your life. Jesus offers a different way. To follow him, you must fully trust him to lead you in everything, to make you a new person, to give you a new heart. God says, I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A heart of stone can't be hurt, but it also can't feel. A heart of flesh can feel lots of things, pain, but also joy and hope. It's God's plan in Jesus to take the right amount of time, not only to give you a good heart, not only to give you a good life and the people that you care for, but even and also to give a good and eternal life to all people who call on him. God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness, his desire for flourishing is so much greater than yours, than mine. It is greed, as I expect most or many of us know, to want more before everyone else or instead of everyone else. And so instead, we're often told, don't be greedy, wait. But God, in his great goodness, does not ask you to wait. God does not plan the way that some people plan, and he's not limited in the way that we are limited. God does not require you to put together an entire plan before taking the first step. He does not wait as we do or require you to wait until everything is perfectly planned before he executes his plan. The Bible shows us from beginning to end how even when sin comes into the world, God immediately begins to unfold a plan for final redemption, a final solution to sin and evil and death. And he reveals that plan to humanity piece by piece over time, bringing life, bringing hope, bringing deliverance, one person, one group at a time. As individuals, as families, as groups within our church, we continue to journey. And as we wander at times, we will find contentment. We will find peace. We will find not just enough, but far more than we can ever ask or imagine. But we'll only find it when we trust ourselves to Jesus, more and more of our whole selves. The more we trust of ourselves to God, the more we give to him and say, God, you tell me how, lead me how to live this part of my life too. The more peace, the more joy, the more rest we will find. As St. Augustine says, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. As we close, I'm going to again just create a little bit of time of silence. And I want to ask you to think about two questions. They're not on the screen, but they're simple questions. You can remember them. What do you want the most? And how can you find rest in God? What do you want the most, and how can you find rest in God? Let's come to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning with our hopes and desires for today, for this week, for this quarter, for this year. And God, as we think about what we want most, speak to our hearts and show us how we might find far more than we ask or imagine. God, it seems so difficult, the call to give our whole selves to you. Who could do that? Yet we see that when we pick the easier way, when we go our own way, it leads to all kinds of difficulty in the long term. God, show us more of yourself, more of your power, your love, your goodness, and your humility. Give us your Holy Spirit that we might not just say we trust you, but put our trust in you. We cannot do this difficult thing in our own strength. But as we do more and more, through your Holy Spirit's power, lead us on into a good life. A life that is not just good for me or for the people I love, but good for all those whom you love. For us, for your church, for our city, and for your world. We pray this not because we are worthy of it, but because of your great love shown to us in your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.